than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final Purple Friday preview of this year. Can't believe it's already happening. How much does that suck? All right, guys, welcome to The Call. It is a Purple Friday preview. Thank you so much for joining us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. The Ravens are playing in what many feel is a meaningless game. We're here to convince you otherwise. Joining me, as always, Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon. I'm going to tell you this right now. Anytime the Ravens are playing is meaningful to me, personally.
I don't care
if they're 0-15 or whatnot. Every time they strap up, it's special.
All right, so before we talk about this Sunday's game, I do have to bring up the fact that this past week I got to hang out and talk with one of the league's best kickers of all time, Justin Tucker. And Josh, I know you've met him before. This is my second time meeting him. But do you remember those goalposts that they were selling at the Ravens yard sale last April?
I do. I should have got one, but I didn't.
Yeah. So what they did was they chopped up a bunch of the goalposts, and they were selling little things. Like, it kind of looked like a cup to keep like pens in or something on your desk. But they weren't too much, and I decided I wanted to get one. And I was like, you know what? I am going to have Justin Tucker sign this. Some way or another, I'm going to get Tucker to sign this. And luckily enough, he did an autograph signing this past week. It was a good line, you know, probably like 200 people or so. And he was a nice guy to me. I asked him, actually. I was like, so have you ever signed a field goal post kind of like this? He goes, as a matter of fact, I have. So I was like, all right, man, well, thanks a lot. Merry Christmas. And that was about it. But yeah, he was real, real gracious with everybody, real good with the kids. But a lot of people had, you know, Mile High Miracle pictures. A lot of people had mini helmets, regular helmets, but nobody I saw had one of those field goal posts.
Wow. So it's like you always like to get something unique, man. And I know I was there. It's like me, you know, I didn't get a chance to get the field goal post, but when I had him sign the game winner, the 61-yarder in Detroit, who can forget that, I was there. So a whole sentimental value, and I even had my ticket on Lanyard, and I even told him. I was like, I was there, man. It was crazy. I was actually behind the goal post that you kicked it through, and he signed the actual picture. So it means a lot to me because he got to sign the moment of him being in there at a great shot of what that was. And it's cool because – who has, like, I remember we were there at the yard sale and we got some of the field that was cut out, but it's like cool how I don't think a player can sign that.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting, but you know, signing the official grass, but just they, you know that he kicked off some of the illustrious field goals through those posts and whatever end it came from. Who knows, maybe that was the game winner against the Patriots that Super year. Who knows, maybe that was some of the game he kicked in each one. So you know, who knows. So you got a part of stadium history, you got four, and you got something that most don't have, and that's very unique, man. And happy to hear it was good spirits, especially after the game, and a lot of fans still showed up and support. That's what it's all about, you know. We're a drill, man. You know, we come out and drove to support our team, you know. And it might suck that we didn't get in the playoffs, but it definitely is what it is, and I'm happy to hear it. It was a great turnout, man, and awesome stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So now let's talk about this Sunday's game. You and Eric Weddle and Terrell Suggs, I think, are the three guys that are definitely thinking that. Terrell Suggs came out and said, you know, these Sundays are numbered. You know, this is you only get so many a year. So, of course, we're going to go out and we're going to play our hardest. Eric Weddle said, yeah, we're not playing for the playoffs, but our character is on the line. I like the fact that these two are coming out and saying that, kind of showing they are leaders in the locker room and that they're doing their own thing. Even though this game to a lot of people isn't going to be as important as the ones in the past. But still, this is Ravens football. This is still something to get up for and to watch, because except you're playing for character, but you're also playing for one of your own. This, it appears to be number 89, Steve Smith Sr. It appears this is going to be his last game in the NFL. I'm sure this is not the way he wanted to go out, but as a whole, I think this whole team's got to be playing hard for him.
I think so, man. You know, it's definitely end of an era in Steve Smith, number 89, future Hall of Famer, man. Can't say enough about this guy. We can just dedicate a whole show to him. Very fiery guy. We're going to miss him. I just remember his first year here. We made it to the divisional round and came all so close and haven't been back to playoffs since. So he only got a taste of one postseason run with the Ravens, obviously. He was a part of the Ravens win in Pittsburgh, so I was there for that. So it's great to see that Steve at least got a taste of the Ravens postseason. Luckily, we didn't go 0-3 with him here, and that would have really sucked for him. You know, come here to a playoff game, you know, to experience a playoff atmosphere and didn't get it. Obviously, we already know what he went through in down in Charlotte and in Carolina, and he went to a Super Bowl there and obviously lost to the Patriots. So great, great, great career. Got to hang your hat to Steve. I think you're right. You know, not only, you know, there's no tough implications, there's no room for improvement, but like Weddle said, there's character, man. There's it shows the Ravens aren't going to mail it in. They're going to come out swinging. A divisional opponent. It's a chance. I know we lost in Pittsburgh, but it's a chance to get end of season on a winning note, go 9-7 instead of the old 8-8 record, and to have the chance to go 5-1 in the division, that one loss being huge last week. So it's a chance to sweep the Bengals. Obviously sweeping the Browns, so to get a chance to win all the games against our divisional opponents in the state of Ohio. So, and this is the second game without A.J. Green for the Bengals against us this year. So we've made a full season without playing against A.J., which is great. So it's playing for the guy beside you, playing for Steve. Right now it's playing for the guy beside you, and I think we need to send Steve out on a winning note. Man, we're the Ravens. We don't like to lose.
I fully expect for Steve Smith to come out and really just have one of his best games of his career. I think he wants to go out that way. It was really interesting to see him in his press conference earlier this week. He was in a Darth Vader onesie this time around, and it was very interesting because he got very emotional. You know, he said there's an 89% chance that this is his last game, and he kind of got a little choked up when he said, you know, his boys want him to continue to play, his wife supports him no matter what, but that he has a daughter at home that really wants her daddy, and you know, you saw him get a little bit choked up there, and then he mentions the fact that Justin Forsett sent him a text message that day, and you know, kind of congratulating him on a big career, and he had to leave the press conference after that because it was getting to him. So I think we're going to see a huge game for Steve Smith. This might even be better than the game he had against Carolina the first year he was a Raven. So this one's going to be a big one. And, you know, it's not as big as Ray Lewis, but this is still going to be a big one. Yeah, he's only been a Raven for a few years, but man, what an impact he has made on this team already. It's I don't really care if he retires a Panther or a Raven. I'd like to see him retire as a Raven. But he was a huge influence on this team, and they're definitely going to miss him in the locker room, and we'll miss him on the field. But what an imprint this guy has made.
Dude, what an imprint indeed, man. You can go back to just to pave the way. I mean, look how little he was. His first NFL touchdown was a kickoff return, opening kickoff, and just they made pave the way and already know his story. If you haven't seen A Football Life, Steve Smith, I encourage you. I almost want to demand you to watch it because it's must-see TV. Must-see TV for any football enthusiast, especially any Ravens fan, any guy or gal out there who's just hardcore into what Steve Smith's about, what this game's about. He paved the way, and obviously we already know the ties with Harbaugh and helping him pave the way for those small receivers because he's really small. You know, but his play, his personality speaks for himself and makes him bigger than his opponents. He's not afraid to go toe-to-toe with anybody. And we've had some classic moments here while he's with us. We had, of course, the Panthers game. Who can forget about that? Blood and guts. And, you know, who can forget about some of the classic quotes he said? Him going back and forth against Jalen Ramsey. We can go on and on, especially the old days in the Panthers uniform that he had, you know, ice up son and can't believe when he played against the Patriots. That was great. Who can forever forget that? And actually, I'm one of the lucky ones who got to meet him and and got to really see what he's all about in person, and never forget that. And now you just, I encourage anybody. You've seen that. You've seen the football wave, right, with Steve Smith. You had to have.
I have to tell you, it's still on my DVR. I have not watched it yet.
What?
I haven't.
Watch it now. It's your homework, Brandon.
All right. All right, everybody. Thanks for a great show. See you later. All right.
Yep. You got to go do your homework. Sorry. No show. No, you seriously make it a point to watch it, man. It's awesome.
I mean, it's such a big deal that he got a football life made about him, and he's still playing. Like, that's even
Ray
more.
Ray Lewis had one made, and he was still playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's really amazing that we got to see that already. But this is going to be a big one for him. So let's move on from Steve Smith. Let's talk about Joe Flacco. You got to think about this. This is the first time in Joe Flacco's career he is going to be playing a regular season game with no playoff implications whatsoever. What does that do to Joe's mindset? Because he's already known as Joe Cool. We've seen him, you know, when everything's on the line, what he can do or can't do. This time around, he's only playing for character with his just wanting to win this one. With, you know, this game really doesn't mean anything at the end of the day, but another W for him. But what's going on through Joe's mind?
Well, what's going through Joe's mind? He wants every game to improve. I mean, you definitely want to improve on what you didn't do. But I mean, he had a great game on Sunday. You can't fault him. He threw no picks. He had a way better game than his nemesis, Ben Roethlisberger. Just, you know, our defense let us down and let up that final touchdown, man. And he feels points were out there. So I think this is a chance to prove that the Hawks critics wrong. You know, yeah, there's a game that doesn't have really any implications at all. But he's out there for all four quarters. And maybe this is a chance to, you know, whether what weapons he has with him next year carrying into 2017 season. I think this is a chance to show everybody that, you know, maybe showcase his leadership talents, maybe to really tune in on some skills. I think it's just to show them all that, you know, hey, I'm still got reins of this offense and I ain't going anywhere, and we're gonna go ahead full steam forward. But it's just get a chance to really see, and I don't think anything's going to be differently. I don't think his approach is going to be differently. I don't think any reason why. You're still playing a regular season NFL game. You're out there earning your check. I don't think, you know, the fire is not going to be there because you want to win. You don't want to just, you know, mail it in. Okay, we just lost. You don't want to end the year on a two-game losing streak to your divisional opponents to get you out of play. You just don't want to do that and end the 8-8. You want to finish strong. And I'm sure if Mr. Ray Lewis was here, bro, he would say the same thing. Got to finish strong, guys. Got to finish strong. He would say the same thing. And even Soap said, it's the winning mentality this week. It's that mentality. Harbaugh would echo that. Weddle and such, all the way down through the rings, man. All 53 men agree. You know, there's a task in hand. They're going to win the game. You know, Harbaugh even jokes that even a preseason game, their object is to win the game. Obviously, get out with no injuries is key. But and here, obviously, we don't want to see any injuries. And I've heard some chatter is, well, if the game's not meaningful, why don't we throw Mallett in there and bench Joe and save him and save his knee? And why are we playing all these guys? Or let Steve Smith out there run around and do what he wants to do. But other than that, why we got to play the starters? But I'm like, really? You got to be like that. You know, you got to play them because it's your adage. Practice makes perfect. How can you get better when you're sitting on the bench resting? You know, you can sit on the bench rest all you want. What happened with Brady in, was it 2011? I can't remember the year he got hurt with his knee. But for like first series of the game, played the Chiefs and they took him out. I think it was against the Chiefs. Obviously, he was benched in the whole fourth preseason game. You don't know what your destiny is or what's going to happen in the game. You just got to play. So forget and squash all that chatter about resting players. These guys are playing. Giannis playing. Suggs is playing. Flacco's playing. Smith is playing. Wallace is playing. Weddle's playing. And the whole starting offensive unit, defensive unit are playing. So let's just get it right there.
All right. So with all these starters playing, let me ask you. We know this is going to be Steve Smith's last game. He's going off into the sunset. But what other players are we going to see for the last time in a Ravens uniform? Whether that be retirement, whether that be free agency, whether that be them just going in a different direction. Who are some of the players you think will not be donning the purple and black next year?
Very great question, man. And definitely going to be good topics in the offseason. I think obviously, even though the injury with Ben Watson, even in, before the year started, I think we dump him, we get rid of his salary, save a little bit. I think I almost want to say Rick Wagner might not be back. I think they got to keep Orr on the defensive side. That's a must. Orr is an upcoming back, especially with Doom and Suggs on their left leg. Suggs is already saying he's coming back for 2017. Yonda is going to definitely be back, you know, for 2017. And Jimmy Smith will be back. So you have to look at what might not be. I know he's your boy, but I think Kamar Aiken's gone. I think, let's see, some of the – I mean, obviously we know Dixon will be back. Wes is going to be a big question mark because I already firmly believe in my heart, and I've seen the play, Kenneth Dixon's our future back for the next few years. Hard runner. He's a rookie. You can still keep him under that contract, see what he brings the next few years. I think West, we might keep him as an option, but not to really get into the specifics of offseason already, so we still got a game to play. But the Ravens, I think, right now sit around 20,000 in cap space. I think Dimmerville is gone. I honestly believe I'll be surprised if Dimmerville still is a Raven next year. I just think he's just, with him being of elderly stature with his age and his play, in football age, I should say. You know, he's pretty young himself, but with the injuries and all that, Stokes will be back. I think you keep Orr and go younger. Orr had an interception 2 weeks in a row. He had the interception against Philly. He had the interception in Pittsburgh. Orr's awesome. I think I would like to see my power stay. Obviously, I think Trish Wright's gone. If he's still here, I'm going to really say what. But that's just some of the names out there I expect to see and leave. How about you, man? Who do you think? Who might stay and who might leave? Obviously, I think Weddle's back.
Yeah.
Now, here's another thing before we answer that. Wallace, I think they signed him for 1 year and they have an option. So do the Ravens pick up his option? That remains to be seen. I think Mike Wallace comes back. Obviously, with the departure of Steve Smith, I think Mike Wallace stays on the team. I don't see him going anywhere else. If he goes, he goes. But I don't think I see him going anywhere. What's your thoughts, man?
Well, of course, you know, this will be Steve Smith's last game. I agree with you. I am very sad, but I don't think Kamar Aiken will be brought back. This is a contract year for him, and they do have Rashad Perryman, who I wasn't impressed with at all this year, but they have him for another year or two at a rookie status contract, so he's probably a little bit cheaper than Kamar Aiken. Elvis Dumervil, I agree with you. Yes, he is older. I think it may be time for him to hang him up. And news broke today that the reason why his foot area injury was he had Achilles surgery during the offseason. So, I mean, that could definitely be affecting his game. He might be thinking it's time to go. I'm very sad again. This might be the last time we see Brandon Williams lacing up and be a Raven because he's in his contract year. He's going to become an unrestricted free agent. And I don't know if the Ravens will be able to afford him, especially with a guy like Mike Pierce stepping up and doing pretty well in the role next to Brandon Williams.
And Zach Orr. So it's like, where did they use the franchise tag? Do they use, you know, Brandon's a run stopper. Brandon Williams, I think, has to stay. I mean, if it's between Brandon and Zach Orr, I think Zach Orr's got to stay for sole purposes of his play. Mm-hmm. Brandon Williams is an all pro. But it's the whole ad of the revolving door, man. The NFL can't keep them all, and you got to keep the ones that matter the most. But let's see if we can move that cap space. The Ravens are very good at what they do, and we can see the Wizard of Oz work his magic, and Eric DeCosta in the front office, and we really got a great front office. So definitely in the coming weeks, as the offseason settles down, we get to the combine and through the NFL playoffs, we'll definitely put some shows out there on the pulse of the team and where we stand with the team and who might stay, who might go in the salary cap. But it's definitely a great, great palate cleanser right here to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Williams, I would love for him to stay. I think he is a great great part of the defensive line. I just don't know if they can afford him. I think this might be one of those Kelechi Osemele type of deals. Yes, you're a great talent. Yes, we want to keep you, but you're going to have other offers out there to make more money other places, and of course they're going to go make more money somewhere else. If we can,
how about Tavon Young? He stay?
Tavon Young, yeah, I would love to have Tavon Young continue to be a Raven. I think this guy has a lot of room to grow, and I think he's shown that he didn't look like a rookie the majority of this season. So I would love to see Tavon Young stay. It'll be interesting to see. I'm a little questionable about Mike Wallace because, yes, he had some great plays, especially up against the Steelers. But as his whole season as a whole, I wasn't overly impressed with his play. Yet, at the same time, with Steve Smith exiting, there's a good chance that Mike Wallace does stay. If Steve Smith were to stick around, I don't know if Mike Wallace would stay. But
yeah, I think Mike Loss is back here. I don't see anything that points to otherwise. The only thing is it's just that option. Who knows what might happen. I think another name that I think might be gone is Matt Elam. He's terrible.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this. I think we're stuck with Brashad Perryman's rookie contract for the time being, but I really want to see him go. With the injuries and his drops, he can't keep his hands under control. I mean, you can't keep that. I mean, that's your bread and butter. You're NFL receiver. Time's up, bud. You know, put up or shut up, and he has. And the tight end's very deep, too, so are we keeping – Crockett Gilmore, is Dennis Pitta. Dennis Pitta's been healthy all year, coming back off the hip, so he's coming back. Crockett Gilmore, are we keeping him? Are we going to keep Waller, Nick Boyle? We have Max Williams. We have like five tight ends, six tight ends right now, even with Ben Watson. So it's like, where does that go? You have a lot. And obviously, Kyle Juszczyk, a fullback. I think he stays just to give it, you know, the cohesiveness to the offense. But I don't know if you heard about that. Speaking of that. Obviously, we already know Juszczyk's a Pro Bowler, and he made the great leaping touchdown. It should have, would have been the seal deal there, and which was the final picture of that moment. But did you hear what Cardinals secondary Tyrann Mathieu said about the fullback that we have?
No.
He tweeted this. I'm on his Twitter page. He actually tweeted this, quote, "Every team needs a fullback like the Ravens fullback. What a run." This was on the night of the game, obviously, when he scored that touchdown. So even the NFL players, man, they were zoned in and tuned in to watch this thing. And well, I'm impressed. And everybody's saying maybe he's making a fullback position trendy again, because we really haven't had Sam Gass was here and Vonta Leach was a workhorse. And remember the old Bucks fullback, Mike Allstott, man, he was a bruiser. And we really haven't had those days since Allstott and Leach. So it'd be great to see if Juszczyk can provide versatility in that position, man. And him being promoted to the Pro Bowl just opens your eyes a little bit on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I like Kyle Juszczyk a lot. I like the fullback position a lot. I definitely think that the Ravens know how to use it. It's just who's going to be the offensive coordinator next year. Is it going to be Marty? Is it going to be someone else? And are they going to feel the same way about the fullback position? So we'll see. But as far as this Sunday goes, this is the last one for a while. It sucks it's ending this way, but I think the Ravens still have plenty to prove on this last Sunday that they're going to be a contender next year. They're working towards it, and for a lot of people on this team, I think this might be the last time they're in the purple and black. So it's going to mean a lot to a lot of people in a lot of different ways, and who knows? This is probably going to be, you know, this is on New Year's Day, so I think it's going to be a lot of people waking up around 1 o'clock and watching in their PJs. So we'll see what happens there. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this Purple Friday preview?
Brandon, the final Purple Friday preview of the season, sad to say, my friend, but the Raven here quotes it nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always Brandon at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. Still, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not a fair weather fan. I listen to the call and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, buddy. It's been a great year, man. Another one in the books. I always want to say thank you for all you do. I don't know if I say it enough. This is the guy right here who he does all the hands-on editing for the shows. I don't know if I've told all of our faithful out there that, but I wanted to extend to you from the bottom of my heart to yours. Congratulations on all you do, and congratulations on what you make this show what it is. And I want to say a big thank you to what you do.
Oh, thank you so much, man. That makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And I want to say the same thing to you. Thank you so much for continuing your passion and sharing your passion with the Ravens. And when I wanted to start a Ravens podcast, you're the first person I thought of. And I was like, who knows the Ravens way more than I do? Who's going to have plenty to talk about? And I think good or bad, depending on how the Ravens are doing. You know, you let everybody know it. You let everybody know how it makes you feel. And this show is definitely a lot of fun to do. I absolutely love doing this podcast, and you make it a lot of fun, buddy. So thank you as well. And this has been a fun season, and hopefully we'll have more shows than this next season. But thank you so much, man.
Of course, buddy. Yeah, I'm happy to be along the way with Paul. And obviously, with that being said, we wouldn't really be in the position we're in without our faithful out there, all of our listeners. Shout out to all, each and every one of you, old, new, whether you're this year, been with us since day one, couple years. I'm just happy along for the ride and keep sharing the call. You all know who you are. I converse with you all the time on Twitter and Facebook. Met some of you even at the games. I love it. And more to come, road trips and such. I really can't wait to see what 2017 brings. I remember when I was gearing up for the first preseason game, Bills game came, home opener, and now, you know, here we are. You know, 8-7 record, countless frustrations, countless, you know, wins and losses. You know, 8 wins, 7 losses, and here we are. We got eliminated from the playoffs last week. We were in week 16. Felt like when we lost to the Jets, me and Brandon were there. I told him, I was like, it felt like we weren't making plays at all. And we were in discussion all the way up until pretty much 9 seconds left in the Pittsburgh game. So I had to talk to the Ravens for fighting as hard as they did and resilient as they always are and relentless and not letting the season get away from them at a 3-4 record when they lost 4 in a row. After starting 3-0, Brandon, I know me and you were together, and when the Ravens were 3-0, I'm like, this might be a special year, man. We've already set ourselves up 3-0. I thought we'd be 2-1 at that point. We have 2 home games in a row. Let's get after it. Maybe, and it was kind of like maybe the possibility of maybe having 2 losses by the bye week. Who knows? And then all of a sudden, it looked like all hope was lost. It's still Ravens football. It's still 3 hours on Sunday. I'm going to be focused and dialed in. And it's Steve Smith's last game, man. And I really can't wait to see what Sunday brings. The closes his great career out. I really can't wait to see when it comes in. Steve Smith went off. Hopefully, he goes to trifecta. You know, he had the touchdown at home. He had the touchdown at 2 points in Pittsburgh. Give him the ball. He's a baller. I like to see him go out as 89 would. I'm predicting right now 130 yards and a touchdown for Steve Smith. I'm going to say 8 catches. I'm going to say 8 catches. And there we go. I'm going to bring it all to a close. Guys, here we are. Season finale. Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.